Okay. There was a guy called Jeremy, applied for a job once, and they offered him the job, and he hesitated, and he said, can you give me a few days to think about it? And so they gave him a few days, but months went by without Jeremy getting in touch. After about 6 months, there was a knock at the boss's door, and he was staggered to open the door of his house and find that there was Jeremy asking, is the job still going? Well, the boss had to say, no, I'm afraid, you know, you're too late, much too late. You've left it go too late. And time again, Jesus warns people, doesn't he? Now's the time. Today's the day of salvation. He does that here. But although he warns them that time is running out, he shows you such a real concern for people, his love for people. It is a stunning outpouring of the emotion of Jesus, his compassion. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Now, you know, most of you, that when it's repeated in Aramaic or in Greek or in Hebrew, it's for emphasis. This is capital letters. This is really important. This is the kind of thing I used to say when I was teaching. Pens down, look this way. This is important. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he says. You killed the prophets, you stoned those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather you as a hen gathers the chicks. Now, obviously, not only have they killed the prophets, they're going to kill him. They're going to crucify him. But he's longed to gather them. But, and it's a big but, you were not willing. And that's some of you sitting here now. You were not willing. Jesus is saying he longs to gather you like a hen gathers the chicks. But you were not willing. There's no shortage of willingness on his part. But you were not willing. And my title this morning is, with a question mark, the hardest thing of all to believe. And the hardest thing to believe is that God loves you. Now, some of you immediately say, oh, I don't think that's hard to believe at all. But I'm suggesting it's the hardest thing to believe because most people out there, maybe some of you, but most people out there, if they think of God at all, which most of them don't, but if they do, they will say, oh, it's very easy to believe God loves me. I believe God loves me. God loves everybody. Even Kojak, you know, with the lollies in the 70s, I used to say, all God's children, baby, as if everybody loved. Well, everybody was loved by God. Now, I'll tell you the story. You know, some of you heard it loads of times. But 25 years ago, I used to do a lot of schools work, and I went to this one school 3 or 4 times. I met the deputy head. He'd always give me a cup of lukewarm coffee to have a chat kind of thing after the assembly. And then one day I thought, well, I met him long enough now. And so in his office afterwards, I remember saying to him, can I just say to you, God loves you? And his response was, I should hope so. It's his job, isn't it? And I remember saying to him, imagine you walk down the corridor, he's a deputy head, and every child either ignores you or hurls abuse at you. Would you love those pupils? Love them, he said, I'd kill them. I said, and yet it's no big deal for you to say that God loves you because it's his job. Now, the reason I suggest this, the hardest thing to believe that God loves you is, if you were the center of your world, which all of us were at one time, and some of you still are, if you were the center of your world, then it's very easy to believe that you were God, loves you, because you were God doesn't exist, you see. If you were the center of your world, you were God is imaginary, purpose-built, custom-built by you in your head. He's not really there. And so it's very easy if you were the focus of everything to believe, oh, of course he loves me. But to believe the true and living God, John 17, you know, verse 3, this is eternal life, to know you, the true and living God. If he is the center of the whole cosmos, if he is the focus of everything, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, if he is what it's all about, it's astonishing to believe that he loves you then, that he should notice you, that he would know who you are, that he should love you, dirty little you, you know the old hymn, guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Well, how could he have anything to do with us? How would he love me? Dirty me, selfish little me, petty little me. That he should notice me at all is remarkable. that he should love me when he knows all about me? Now, that is way beyond common sense, that he should know me and still love me, isn't it? That's why I'm suggesting, is it so hard to believe that he should love me? The God I've hurt all day, every day of my life, he loves me. See, if you've come that far, boy, are you blessed if you've come that far. If you realize what you've done to him and you know he still loves you, you are blessed. You are mightily blessed. See, here Jesus is demonstrating his love for people in Jerusalem. He's not vaguely sentimental about the city. He's not like Tony Bennett crooning about San Francisco or Frank Sinatra singing about New York. No, he's thinking of people, real people who are there. He pictures their faces. He loves them. He wants to gather them. But the problem is they don't want to come. And you know the story. Most of them will refuse, just like some of you have, refuse to come, or politely, but you will not come. You're not gathered in the arms of Jesus. He longs for people to be saved. There's a program on TV, I haven't seen it yet. It's got a great title, or Saved. It's on 9 o'clock on ITV, one of the nights of the week. Saved, it's all about rescues. Well, Jesus is a rescuer. He's a savior. Now you know, and I know, and Jesus knows, they're gonna kill him outside the city wall soon. That's what makes this so hard to believe. Because you don't love people who are consistently hateful to you, do you? You don't. But Jesus still loves you. There was a woman on Newsnight last week. Her ex-partner, lover, whatever, was an undercover cop. He'd lived with her, he'd slept with her, but of course he was a fake ID. It was a false name. He had a real family just 10 miles away. He told her he loved her. She thought he loved her. She said she loved him. And then she finds it's just a charade. How does she feel? Oh, never mind. No, she's devastated. She's angry. She's hurting. Now, how do you think Jesus feels about the way people like you and me treat him? How does he feel? He's hurt. And yet he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, I long to gather you. Do you remember Orson Welles, the actor? Those of us who are old. Actor, director, writer, brilliant producer. He went into a shop once to buy something, and he liked the voice of the guy who was the shop assistant so much, he said to him, come to Hollywood, I'll make you a movie star. And the ghost, imagine the guy saying, Mr. Welles, you want me? You want me to come to Hollywood? You sure? And Orson Welles said, yeah, I'm sure. I want you. And the guy went and became a star. Well, do you know this morning that Almighty God loves you? Not some vague notion of him just obviously caring about what he's created, but that he loves you as a person. That's the very reason you're in the building now. The hands that flung stars into space, he who flung stars into space loves you. In the case of Jerusalem, they'd rejected all the prophets. They'd rejected Jesus in previous visits. And they are very soon going to show their rejection publicly and permanently by nailing him to a tree outside the city wall. And yet he still longs to gather them. You remember the story, some of you, of that fire on the farm. It started in the barn and it went then to the hen house, and how the farmer was just walking on the following morning, the picture of devastation, and he sees this pile of charred leaves that he kicks, and then realizes it's not charred leaves, it's burnt feathers, and out underneath the burnt feathers come all the chicks. The hen has died to protect the chicks. And I remember the first time I read that story, I thought, and there's my Savior dying for me. He dies that I can be safe. The night I was baptized, somebody came up and gave me a card. And he said on the card these words on the front, and then he opened it for the answer kind of thing. And on the front it was, how much do you love me, Jesus? And he opened it and he stretched out his hand, said this much, and died. It was tremendous. But it's only tremendous if you actually know that love has come to you. Now where are you in all this? where are you in all this? Jesus has done everything. It is finished, he said. He's done everything so that people like you and me can be with him forever. He longs to gather you. You can be saved from God's anger. You can be saved from yourself. You can be saved from hell. But he doesn't force anybody to come. Hebrews 2 warns, how will you escape if you neglect such great salvation? Listen to Colossians 2. I love this. I put myself in there. When I was dead in transgressions, he cancelled the written code that was against me. He took it away, nailing it to his own cross. He forgave me all my sins. All my sins. Do you get that? Listen to the Old Testament. I'll finish with this. Ezekiel 33. The Lord speaking, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they turn to me. Why will you die? Turn to me and be saved. And I say to you now, on behalf of Almighty God, turn to him. Why will you die otherwise? Turn and be saved. Some of you are just sitting there, you're polite, you're nice, and you're lost. And Jesus is saying now, he's longing to gather you right now. Will you come? Amen. Well, let's sing about this.